and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Despite Chris Christie closing every lane on every highway in New York, guess who made it into the New York Bureau?
You can't close the subways.
Fresh the triumph from the Lord. Of his extended cunnilingus set in Seattle, sexy liberal.
What?
You know,
you finally work blue.
I finally work blue for this. Actually, it's not even a dirty bit. There's only one bad word in the entire, you know, in the entire manifesto.
But the concept is filthy.
Even those of us backstage,
the concept
springtime for Hitler faces. We're like, wow, what's going on with John Fugel saying tonight?
I talked about the need for men to do their duty at the Chicago show as well. And
right.
This is the cunnilingus manifesto, and it's very important. And
God love you, sir.
Well, I asked the audience, do you want politics, religion, or filth? And guess what Stephanie Stroud asked for the closer. So I gave them, and I have been so not. I let Stephanie and the others do the sexy stuff. I've always stayed away from that because when I talk about sex, it upsets women and men.
You were as you are gallant, and you were covering for me so that I would seem highbrow because I whipped out my whole new Sarah Palin on the English language routine, complete with physical manifestations of syllables that she.
I think men not doing their duty is a tremendous problem in this society.
I do too.
I think it's really, really wrong, and I think it's at the square root of a lot of our social ills, so I'm not afraid to speak up about it, and your show gives me the level of
dignity
that I need to rise to.
You're trying to stop lesbians like me from recruiting more of your women. And listen...
I thought it was a great show. Stephanie was hilarious, Chris. I don't know if you've talked to anyone who was there, but Stephanie and having Mr. Jim Ward on stage
Mr. Jim Ward.
Dynamite.
Awesome.
Come on.
The crowd loved. I mean,
heroes welcome.
We've never had a Q&A with that many conspiracy theory questions. I will say that.
Yeah, but, and also I told him, you know, Jim, he worries about, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And we got through, what was it? And now everybody, Jim. See, like, it doesn't matter what you say. Just walk and stand
sure.
there.
Exactly. And Jim was great on stage. Jim was hilarious, got some of the night's biggest laughs. And really, a lot of the people in the meet and greet said to me that they loved seeing Stephanie and Jim, like, hold the stage together for the Q&A. It was like seeing the radio show on TV. So
aww.
A good time was had by some.
He's loving cuddly comedy bear.
It was also just a great show. Rocky Mountain Mike had a very funny little thing before the show started with his players, and it was a great crowd and a great theater. Yeah. Stephanie's new material was hot. And
John Fugel sings too. Yay! In 2014, kids, a whole new show. We are already, by the way, tickets going crazy, I think, because everyone's hearing about how great Seattle was for Phoenix when Carlos L's Rocky joins Sexy Liberal. Tickets going very, very fast for the Phoenix show in February. Madison already sold out. Sorry about that. Good luck. Might be a few floaty tickets. They're trying to put in extra seats or, I don't know, whatever.
A
building
chair.
New rows. Right?
FEMA's got trailers.
A card table in the corner.
And Albuquerque in May, and then we will have many, many more announcements in the new year.
Yes.
All right. John Fugel sang. What does...
Good morning, precious.
Good morning, Angel. Have I been talking on air about how startling it is to see John Fugel sing in person,
yes.
even though I've known him for years?
Yes. He's a beautiful man.
Right. There is something. Well, when you're that close, like, right, when I was standing next to you on stage, backstage... Wasn't I staring?
Yes, but I thought that was a hygiene thing.
No.
No? Oh, well, great.
Many years, it's all new. I went, you're so beautiful.
Oh, stop
hey.
It.
Hey.
Oh, I don't have to say, hey, what you got over there? Because I told you what he has over there yesterday. It's also something else you can't help but notice about John Fugel saying.
Oh, that he's packing a large.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's hard to ignore. Oh, my God.
I think you just embarrassed him into silence.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you've
done it.
Enormous package. He doesn't
care. I don't know where...
I'm always like, hey, John, nice basket. He's always like, thank you.
Okay. One of your demented fans posted the same thing with a picture on the Twitter, and I'm always like, if men talked about women this way,
shows
like this would be hating these men.
Where can we find that?
You don't need to know where that is.
I want to find it right now.
You don't need to know where that is.
Hashtag Fugelsang's package.
Now,
you sure it wasn't John Hamm?
Now I understand why your child is so big. I'm just saying.
My child's a monster. Forget about it. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Kids, speaking of the new year, thank you to John Fugelsang and all the other for doing that fabulous video thing for our Free Speech TV campaign. The Indiegogo campaign. People have been so generous to I think they're starting to understand, John, the importance of corporate free broadcasting.
You know what? Well, people also just want to have this show on their TV again, and they got spoiled by it. And the fact is, Free Speech TV is like, you know, vitamins that taste good. You can feel really good for watching it. It's also good for you. And
we're going to be the Fruity Pebbles.
Well, I love Free Speech TV, but they really need a show like this. They need something entertaining and funny and informative.
And it is going to be, I got to say, even cooler. It's going to be so reality show. The home studio, Max and Fred, will be making appearances.
The breakfast demonstrations.
Right.
Will they have their own headphones?
And now when you have celebrity guests, it could just be whoever, you know, you passed out with last night coming downstairs for breakfast.
There'll be boy band next door.
And you guys get to hear me do the irritating Max and Fred voice for it to them every morning.
Oh,
wouldn't that be great?
No.
Max and Fred is here. Oh, yes, a little romantic.
Who are you? Someone just walked down. I've never seen you before in my life. Oh, no.
All right. Questions, though, Chris. Lots of questions.
Okay.
We turned into Tech Talk this week.
Okay.
Because we're helpers. let's see, who's it? Oh, Bill says, isn't right-wing radio free and now progressive will be pay-per-view or listen? How is that a good thing? Let's see here. Free corporate propaganda or costly radio oven for the people. Do you know free ways to get the progressive stations? Chris?
Yes.
Lots of free ways.
Lots of free ways. You can, when we start up, you can get it online at freespeech.org. You can listen to and watch the show there. You can get it on various apps that are available on iHeartRadio, on TuneIn Radio, on Progressive Voices.
Are those apps free, Chris?
There's a free version of TuneIn. iHeartRadio is free. I believe Progressive Voices might be a buck, and Stephanie Miller, I think, might be a buck.
Okay.
Yes, but you can listen to the show on all of those.
Right. Okay. So there you go. Right there. There's SiriusXM.
Yep. SiriusXM is not.
Right. I got it. But if you have it already.
Exactly.
Or I'm just saying you should get it. Mostly why? Seriously, Sinatra. Coffee House. All the stations I listen to. 40s on 40s has the Christmas music right now. Or 40s
on
4.
That's a great station.
Love it.
Yeah. I listen to BPM.
That's what Max and Fred will mostly be doing, Chris. They'll be asking you how to change the channel.
Oh, God.
Can you change this music? Listening to it for years. Put something else on it. They'll show you. You'll change it to metal or something.
No, I'll change it to First Wave.
Chris won't do that.
First Wave is a really good station.
All right.
I've never listened to First Wave.
It's all like new wave stuff, but it goes deeper than just the hits.
Ah.
Yes.
All right. And
deeper into shallow music.
Lorinda in Sacramento says, "Hi, Steph. I just called the bastard people at Comcast." First of all, don't call them bastard people if you
don't do that.
That's not a way to get them on your side.
The guy said they were working on getting Free Speech TV.
Really?
Oh, that's very, very exciting.
Or is that what they're supposed to say to everybody who wants to request a station?
Call them and say you are not bastard people, particularly if you put Free Speech TV on.
Right.
But we will be on Dish and on DirecTV.
And on the Roku app, Free Speech TV.
Roku.
Thanks, Joe. You love to talk about that, and he loves to say that.
I know.
It just sounds cool.
Well, I mean, it's another way of getting the show.
Right. Can you explain what a Roku is for those of us uninitiated? I know you've said it before. I don't really.
It's a tiny little box about the size of a hockey puck. It's about $50, and there are
tighter than smaller than Sharon Osbourne.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm so glad I don't get that.
Sharon Osbourne had her vajayjay.
No, she didn't. She said it's a joke.
But she said it was a joke.
Wow, it's so unlike her to talk about something like that.
Anyway, you hook it up to your TV, and you can get all kinds of apps on there where you can watch various shows. Like there's a YouTube app. You can get like the ABC app or the NBC app. And Free Speech. Let's see, HBO Go has an app.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, guys, they're working on getting Free Speech TV. I have your podcast. Thank you. Love it very much. I donated it to your cause, even though I don't get to see you yet. Well, that's it. That's how it's called faith, right, John?
Yes.
You have to believe.
Yes.
You're giving to something you can't see yet so that you can see it in the new year.
So there will be a Christmas miracle.
Right. our Stephanie Miller Show Facebook. The link is up.
Yes.
Thank you. Help, Mommy.
Look, Mommy. Father Christmas brought me Mama and the Mooks.
And a white Jesus.
Chuck in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good, sir. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, I just wanted to point out the fact that just because I'm not some knuckle-dragging, teabagging, ditto-hidden moron, I am a patriot. I spent 29 years in the military, and I do have good American values, unlike these that commercial they keep broadcasting on your station there. It just annoys the heck out of me.
Oh, oh no, I love it. The one that says that we will be replaced by real American values January 2nd?
Yeah, the patriot, true American values.
What's offensive about that?
I spent 29 years in the Air Force. I feel like I'm a patriot, and I think I do have true American values.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it just annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah, we're like kind of like, can you wait till we get out the door before you talk about us? I mean, seriously, wait till the door hits us in the ass.
But it is patriotic in that the First Amendment allows people who actually hate most of America to call themselves the Patriots. Don't ever forget, these are the people who thought having two wars off the books while cutting taxes for people who didn't need a tax cut was conservative. These are the people who sent 5,000 U.S. servicemen and women to die for a lie while Dick Cheney's company pocketed $39 billion. Dollars. And they're calling themselves the Patriot? We're going to have a lot of fun with
Chuck,
this.
Chuck, who was it? The liberals saying, hey, do you think we ought to wait and give them the body armor? That no. Cheese and crackers. You go to war with the army you have.
These guys are the ones who've been wrong about everything. These patriots are the ones who were wrong about Bill Clinton's budget bankrupting the country. They were wrong about impeaching Bill Clinton. They were wrong about Obama's citizenship. Wrong about Iraqis greeting us as liberators. They've been wrong about Sarah Palin, and now they're telling us that they're right about Obamacare. These are the losers, the morons, the idiots, and the malcontents. These are the people who just are the slavish, knuckle-dragging, ditto-head acolytes of Beck and Limbaugh. And
I'm proud to have a real patriot like you.
You on the show, sir. Thank
that
you
is
so
my
much.
Mission is to get John Fugelsang to come out of his shell in 2014.
I love you guys, and I thank God for XM Radio because I can still listen to you.
Hey, Chuck, instead of just the empty thank you for your service, I'm going to actually give you a $50 gift certificate to ProFlowers, okay?
Oh, wow, that's great. Hey,
awesome.
Thanks, y'all.
All right, hang on.
I love you even more now.
Good. I don't mind buying your love. I don't care. Hang on, Chuck. All right, hang on. Travis will get your info. Oh, he can send pretty flowers to somebody.
Aww.
Send holiday bouquets and gifts from proflowers.com. Just click on the mic and enter Stephanie. Please, won't you?
Enter Stephanie?
Yes.
Who hasn't? Hey! We were just talking about that before the show.
I'm almost certain I don't remember that happening with you, but if you say so, I'll back you up. All right, 18 minutes to the hour. We roll along all 3 hours with sexy liberal John Fugelsang. What an early Christmas gift as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
The dude in red back at the pole up north where everything is cold. But if he were right here tonight, he'd say Merry Christmas and to all a good night.
Word.
It is the
word to y'all's mamas.
Thank you, Jim. To be more specific, we're narrowing it down. Your dads are on their own. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. My personal comedy, Jesus, John Fugelsang, all 3 hours in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated. He is our translucent white Santa.
Yeah, with all that.
The whitest Santa ever.
Yeah, I open with material about that, and I'm going on Wendy Williams today to talk about Megyn Kelly. It's just still going. It's never ending. But of course, you guys know Megyn Kelly said that Jesus and Santa were white.
Yep.
Right.
Just like everyone else she knows. And, you know, as I pointed out on the show the other night, Steph, I hate to tell Megyn Kelly, Santa's not white. And I hate to tell you liberals, Santa's not black. Mm-hmm. The truth is, my friends, Santa is Chinese. And we know this because that's where all the presents come from.
Right.
That's correct. Nicely said, sir. Nicely done. Well, you know, that's because you know all Megyn Kelly dreams of. In her dreams are nights with white Santas.
Nights with white Santa, making Kelly pretend. Letters I've written, won an Xbox from him. Megan's been obscene. with her thoughts before. Just what the truth is, she can't say anymore. 'Cause she's on Fox News. Yes, she's on Fox News.
Cold-hearted orb rules the night, robs the colors from our sight. Red is black and yellow white, but we decide which is right and which is an illusion.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Loves me, my power ballads. All right, John, what the hell is going on over there with SantaCon? I mean, come on now. Did you see the headline? Lawyer for Santa accused of public hand job demands article be yanked.
What? I don't think you can say that word, Steph, on the air.
Oh, well. Gee, I hope I don't get fired on Friday. I may have to vacate out of here after the show immediately. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the article.
I demand it be yanked. Firmly.
Right. Is this Gawker? Where is this
one? Yes, it's Gawker.
Yeah. Following yesterday's post about a SantaCon Santa who was allegedly caught by a filmmaker having his North Pole publicly waxed.
Oh! In the window of a Duane Reade.
Right. At least pick Walgreens.
I didn't realize. I thought it was something wholesome like a bus stop. It's in a window of a Walgreens?
Yes.
Of a Duane Reade.
Steve and I have a line.
By a naughty little elf, Gawker received an urgent email from a man claiming to be Santa's lawyer. To whom this may concern, which, by the way, we throw those letters out immediately because none of us give a... do not address the letter because none of us are concerned about anything.
So explain to me this elf who was doing the...
Hot chick.
Yeah, it is a hot chick.
Yeah. All right. I'm representing my client, who is the male, shown in the video, posted in your article from today, entitled, Santa Gets Public Job from Naughty Mrs. Claus. See how I did that? I
think okay. Thanks.
Would they say a job? So you need to know which kind of job.
With the hand.
Right.
Yes.
So why is that more offensive than...
Right.
Random Ryan?
I'm a woman of few words, few and concise words.
Manual stimulation.
There you go.
Thank you, Jim.
Or manual stimulation.
Or just say a handy.
Right.
You got a handy.
That means a cell phone in Germany.
Oh.
South Park,
we'll know where to find Jim. He'll be in the laundry room at the new place. He'll be like, it's a small load. I'll do it by hand. Jim, get back in here. The commercial break is over.
I'm almost over, too.
South Park calls it an old-fashioned.
Anyway, he writes, my client is a successful New York businessman who was simply trying to get home with his girlfriend who had a little bit too much to drink once.
Yeah, he was trying to get home, all right.
Mm-hmm. He's taking the long way home.
He's trying to beat the clock.
Hey!
We got a million of them. Okay. Oh, hey, by the way, speaking of which, in other wanking news. Man caught pleasuring self in meat aisle.
What?
What?
Well, how appropriate. You're choose right?
Where else are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Where
talk
else about could you go
selfish.
To beat it? He fully intended to go shopping, he says, at a local supermarket, you know, as you do, when he got extremely horny, became overwhelmed by his excessive sexual drive and began touching himself through his pants in the meat aisle.
Shopping, wanking, what's the difference?
A female employee at the supermarket saw him but did not realize he was masturbating. She thought he was merely adjusting himself.
Oh,
right.
I see.
Okay. Repeatedly.
Right.
Over and over.
Wow.
Please, sir, do not. You cannot beat the meat prices here.
Don't touch the meat.
Did he beat it before the cops came?
All right. Let's get all that out of our system.
I'm trying. I'm doing it right now.
And see. That concludes the wanking section of the show.
I blame all this on John Fugelsang for talking about oral sex.
Yes.
All right. And when we come back.
I didn't mean to touch a sore spot.
And when we come back. It's another fascinating edition of Things Chicks Put in Their Vaginas.
Sorry, what? Really?
It's a startling array.
Is this what I get for coming here on Wednesday?
Girls, stop it. Just stop.
This is the way we are on Wednesdays.
It's not a purse.
Hump day.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
James Brown!
Stephanie Miller.
What about my part? What about the Christmas Queen, hmm? Are you going to let all this beauty go to waste?
No, Marcus Bachman, we are not. You're the prettiest. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, John Fugel saying you're just making everyone around you even dirtier, including, what was the story about, the Santa Claus that was getting a job from a naughty elf.
Yes, and Flint's doubting Tom says,
slid down the chimney.
Yes, says Santa was just trying to give the elf a white Christmas.
No.
Melissa
no.
in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Melissa.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I heard John go off about the Republicans being wrong about everything, and it kind of hit a nerve. Since Saturday, I've been really bugged. I was at a book fair for our school, my kid's school, and I noticed that Rush Limbaugh has a children's book out. And that, and I saw last night on Colbert that there's a Ted Cruz coloring book, and it just, I threw up a little bit in my mouth and had to leave.
Yeah.
But
who knows better about children than a childless drug addict that's been married 17 times?
That was pretty much my thought. And then, but more to what John said, not only is it, you know, bad enough that they have to be wrong about everything, now there's this concentrated effort to misinform children. So we have generations of morons growing up.
Right.
Hey, that's not true. And Martin Luther King was a Republican.
Well, that's what they said. And the thing about Ted Cruz last night that really kind of hit home was that his book seems to be about the hatred of Obamacare. And as I look at my children, I've been ill lately, I just think about if it wasn't from Obamacare, I have diverticulitis, and that would have been easily a pre-existing condition.
Right.
And I would have lost my house. I've been hospitalized 5 times since June. And we would be bankrupt, and we would be begging for presents this Christmas. And if it wasn't for Obamacare and the insurance and the demands that they place on the insurance companies and the hospitals for quality care and fair treatment of the patients, we'd be nowhere. We'd be screwed.
Yep, yep, absolutely. All right. And you know who else needs Obamacare?
Who?
Women that stick things in their vagina.
What?
Do you know any who don't?
Oh.
Well, I mean hide things there, Jim.
Hmm.
If you can consider that hiding. It's not like we don't give it back in a second or two. Yeah, this always amazes me, I have to say.
Yeah.
This is more common than you would think, John.
Is it now? It's amazing how little I've thought about it.
Right. Oh, what was our favorite, Jim? The woman that was getting pulled over for drunk driving, and she put her car keys up her hoo-ha.
Up her hoo-ha.
So that the police would not assume that she was driving. Who else would have been?
And every time she crossed her legs, she opened the trunk.
That was the tip-off. And also, you can hear the... You just unlocked the car. What's happening? Woman snuck pot pipe into jail in her vagina, according to the cops.
No.
An Oklahoma woman. Oklahoma again.
Yeah.
Arrested for causing a disturbance, faces higher charges after officers discovered a marijuana pipe inside her vagina.
How?
Police say the pipe, when she...
I'm guessing it wasn't a bong.
No.
Well,
she's definitely not had the Sharon Osbourne surgery, though. Police say the pipe found in her sex organ smelled like marijuana.
Among other things.
And tuna.
Found at the Fulton Fish Market on a really hot
day. Oh!
What?
Oh!
What?
Yes, John, we're going there this week.
You're going there.
Oh, it's pre-vacation. Like
you're buying timeshares there.
Yeah. Everyone knows. Everyone knows what to expect pre-vacation week. In June, another one was arrested on suspicion of smuggling drugs from Mexico into the U.S. after officials found a one-pound package of methamphetamine in her.
Wow. 1 pound.
Huh? The black package of drugs was double wrapped in condoms and was so big it had to be surgically removed from her pelvis.
Yikes.
In March, another woman arrested after sheriff's deputy in Florida, pulled her over and discovered a marijuana blunt on the floor. She was taken into custody, and during a cavity search, officers discovered crack cocaine hidden in her. Which is clever, and also a little redundant.
Crack it. Never mind.
Put crack in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could end the drug war and these stories would go away.
So maybe Rob Ford is really from Regina.
Hey!
Oh! Jim Ward with the tip into the buzzer. Hit the lights. We're going home for the big holidays. Another woman in October detained by police who noticed she was walking funny. Funny how? Funny like my vagina's here to amuse you? When a female officer searched, she discovered, wow, 36 vials of crack in her vagina.
36 vials of crack in your...
Wow.
Yeah. 36 vials of crack.
Okay.
It's kind of redundant.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, stop it. Girls, stop it. It's not what God intended that for. God only intended it for missionary position sex with your husband. Don't be
right.
Shoving stuff up there. Ugh.
Well, then what? Right. Never mind.
What?
With your husband?
Right.
Did I tell you I've become a promise
husband.
Keeper? Just because?
Oh,
I'm,
you
okay,
have.
Yes, during stress I've converted.
Okay, good.
Huh.
All right. John Fugel's saying, have we stunned you into momentary silence?
Yes, I'm in submission now. I'm...
You've become my submissive now. What's happening?
I just had no idea this is going on in my country. This is great.
Yeah. Well, Jim started it. It's because whenever I do stories about male genital, he has to do America's Funniest Vaginal Mishaps. And so there you go. All right. As we've also said, John, the war on Christmas getting very, very, getting very heated. As you know, Arizona woman gets punched for saying Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah. One Salvation Army volunteer was ringing a bell outside an Arizona Walmart and said Happy Holidays. As a result, one woman did what any Christian would do, punched her in the arm.
Who would Jesus punch?
Yes, that's violence for Jesus.
The bell ringer said she was minding her business, ringing a bell, wishing people Happy Holidays, when a woman nearby decided to confront her. She said she came up to me and said, "Do you believe in God?" She said, "You're supposed to say Merry Christmas," and that's when she hit me.
Yeah, these are the worst people in the
world.
Who
would Jesus punch?
You know, Jews believe in God.
Yes.
They celebrate Hanukkah. And yet, Bill O'Reilly keeps talking about our Judeo-Christian traditions while he's waging
code.
He's ordering
code. Yeah. That's code now. That's code for non-Muslim is what that is.
Yeah.
Look,
right.
This is the difference between Christian and Christian supremacist.
Christianist.
Okay? It's really, really simple. See, saying Happy Holidays is you extending warmth and goodwill towards everyone to the holiday season, not just the people in your own ecclesiastical club, which is the irony that saying Happy Holidays is, in fact, more Christian than saying Merry Christmas.
That brings us to another dispatch from the War on Christmas.
Coming this December on PBS, the new documentary series, Dispatches from the War on Christmas.
Dear Mr. Nimrod, since you have left, this war on Christmas has extracted a terrible toll. Mrs. Wilson down the road passed last January. She was taken in a most cruel way, strangled by defective tinsel. Then the Lucas's little boy, Samuel, came down with a dastardly rash. And Dr. Stevens says that it was most assuredly caused by the red dye in his gift wrap paper. No family has been spared the heartbreak of cheap Christmas goods. There can be no doubt we're facing a silent but deadly enemy. Oh, please come home to me, Nimrod. Come back to Wingnut Mountain. Forever yours, Edna.
Dispatches from the War on Christmas. Coming this December on PBS.
I hike Wingnut Mountain.
Kenny Pick Sheep and Kim G in the live blog.
That's beautiful.
Yes. Wingnut Mountain. Oh, heavens.
Oh, Nimrod.
We listen just for the immature names. Who was it yesterday? Captain Dingleberry?
Yeah, something like that.
Something. All right.
Captain Festus Dingleberry.
John, what's going on over there in Jersey? Chris Christie, Bridge, he's got a little controversy.
A little bit, yeah. This is just crazy over here. I just want to be like a New Yorker and enjoy the snow and grieving Peter O'Toole. But Chris Christie, he keeps us talking about him, doesn't he?
It's
bad, you know.
Right. I think America might elect Bobby Baklava president. Why not?
Oh, no. Listen, you don't want to be accused of fat shaming by making a single joke about Chris Christie.
Oh, no. It was a Sopranos joke. It wasn't a fat joke.
Oh, it's a fat joke.
Well, a little bit.
And you're a hater.
I could have said big pussy, but he looks more like Bobby Baklava.
Well,
on Monday,
he's the one Republican who could probably beat Hillary Clinton in the general election, and the Tea Party will therefore make sure that never happens.
Well, unless we find some bodies somewhere in Jersey, just saying. Senator Jay Rockefeller asked the Department of Transportation to look into why officials in New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's administration, by people in his administration, his high school buddy that doesn't even have a resume on file, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
abruptly shut down access lanes to the busiest U.S. bridge in September and caused massive traffic jams, a move Democrats have characterized as political retribution.
Yep.
Drivers,
pettiness.
Right. In September, drivers attempting to cross the George Washington Bridge by three access lanes in Fort Lee, New Jersey, found two of the lanes closed. As a result, vehicles backed up to Fort Lee's local roads, creating a mess for both bridge and tunnel traffic. The closures ordered by David Wildstein, high-ranking Port of New York and New Jersey official. He's the high school buddy of Chris Christie's.
Mm-hmm.
They came out just weeks after Fort Lee's Democratic mayor refused to endorse Christie's re-election bid on September 12th. He said he believed closures were punitive, although I love this part. Johnny later backed off that accusation. I'm guessing a couple of guys went and had a little chat with him about whether it's...
But it was. Fort Lee, New Jersey is where the George Washington Bridge starts. I mean, it's so petty. And if the Tea Party cared about pettiness, this would be a problem for Christie.
Wildstein and his boss have since resigned. He argued the lane closures were part of a traffic study. The Port Authority Executive Director said he was never aware of any study. Yeah, we're closing these lanes down. There's a study.
We're studying how traffic doesn't move when you block off an entire bridge.
Yeah, once you shut your pie hole. It's from Princeton. It's a study.
And there
shut
was
up.
No traffic. This was not a boating accident. There was no traffic. The irony of all this is that Chris Christie himself killed the other tunnel they were trying to make.
Oh,
they were trying
tunnel.
To build another tunnel 2 years ago from downtown Manhattan into Jersey, which would have created jobs, improved traffic flow, helped the economies of both states, and Christie killed it. So it's not that huge a shock.
Yeah, well, we will...
Boom!
Dead. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with more on this as we continue with John Fugel saying sexy liberal his own bad self in the New York Bureau all 3 hours of the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. It is Wednesdays with John Fugelsang. I'm not even going to try to rhyme anything.
No.
Carlos tells Rocky Sexy Liver will be here Friday instead. All right, John Fugelsang.
Yes.
What was that?
Yes.
We've been talking about. So you don't think this is going to hurt Chris Christie? This is developing as Tom Brokaw.
Developing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to hurt him with the people who think he can do no wrong, and it's not going to help him with the people who've already made up their minds about him. So, you know, I mean, what's going to hurt Chris Christie is the Tea Party and his insufficient hate for Muslims.
Our pal Julian Seattle, who we just saw this Saturday, said, Mama, so as it turns out, Chris Christie actually is a pretty corrupt, reckless jerk who likes getting even Nixon style with his political enemies. It looks like Governor Stay Puffed Yeti McBigfoot really stepped in his 2016 chances, all just to over a Democratic mayor who refused to endorse him for election. I missed some of the shows this week. She says Ed Rendell told Chris Matthews on Monday he could imagine no reasonable explanation for closing this Fort Lee to New Jersey bridge. Stated unequivocally as an ex-governor from the region, there was no way the busiest bridge in the nation was closed by the two underlings on their own without being ordered to do it. Even Rachel Maddow reported on Monday this started out as a hard-to-take-seriously story, but now it's clear, quote-unquote, something petty and rotten and vindictive has been going on in New Jersey. We'll see.
That's what I name my kids, petty, rotten, and vindictive.
Isn't there always something
is
petty,
rotten? Is that the Christie kids, really?
Isn't there something always petty, rotten, and vindictive going on in New Jersey?
Well, I'm just saying. If this
the state
one...
motto.
Yeah. Petty, rotten, and vindictive.
No, I think it's this town rips the bones from your back. It's
right.
A death trap. It's a suicide trap. You've got to get
it.
It's hard to fit that all on a...
Chris Christie is the greatest Bruce Springsteen fan who's never listened to a single Bruce Springsteen lyric.
Yeah.
Actually, the state motto is, oh!
Boo!
Oh!
One political strategist said it goes to the heart of his potential liability. Temperament is a real issue in presidential politics. Sorry, or I could just shut my pie hole about that. John, I think that's it. I mean, that is, I think, remains to be seen. There is a pretty fine line between, you know, oh yeah, being plain spoken and being just a mean jerk and a bully, like he comes off a lot.
Well, exactly. And, you know, he's incredibly charismatic. He's very entertaining. If the Democrats had run, I mean, Carla Buono is a very nice person, but it wasn't a serious campaign against him. And, you know, they could have
taken
him down a
notch. Well, that's because Democrats, as usual, gave up and let their testicles shunk back inside them.
She wasn't the best candidate, though.
But she got totally abandoned. I mean, you know, they just decided they weren't going to win. And
I think she was totally abandoned because she wasn't the best candidate.
Yeah,
but I do think
they gave up without a fight.
Well, they chose to spend their money more wisely elsewhere.
Meow. Okay.
They don't have an unlimited amount of money.
By the way,
if you saw her ads, you'd know that it wasn't a serious campaign.
You know where Democrats should not give up, and that is in Kentucky, Jim, where we have some turtle trouble. Yet a new poll has just come out. More bad news for Mitch McConnell. The poll finds him despised by Kentucky voters.
That's okay. It's okay. We have a plan to cut taxes for wealthy Americans more. That'll make them like us again.
Excuse me, John, are you okay?
The wealthy job creators have paid too high a taxes for too long. So if we cut taxes for millionaires again, the rural voters of Kentucky will pay. Slow and steady wins.
Right. Don't you hope Britt Hume can moderate some debate? He has just a 31% approval rating, 61% disapproving in Kentucky of his job. Yeah, Mitch McConnell unable to shake his...
Is it 39% indifferent?
McConnell is unable to shake his Democratic opponent, Allison Lundgren Grimes. The Senate race is a toss-up.
Allison Lundgren Grimes.
Right. He's clinging to a 43-42 lead over her. Ooh.
Wow. Over Bullock.
Even more embarrassing for the senator, he does no better against Grimes than his teabaggy challenger, Matt Bevin, who is also in a statistical tie with her in a race there. So.
And that's the thing. The Tea Party candidate is going to just spend months and months and months chipping away at him, wrecking him, hurting him, damaging
him. And I'll treat him to my shell.
Yeah, John Cornyn, take note.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, that's why he's acting all teabaggy. Did you see this? Mitch McConnell said Tuesday he doubts Republican lawmakers will allow a debt ceiling increase in 2014 without new conditions.
Wow.
So this again, he said, I doubt it if the House, or for that matter, the Senate, is willing to give the president a clean debt ceiling increase. Here we go again.
So he's going to double down on the dumbing down while Boehner goes cold turkey. I can't wait to see which policy pays off.
He said we'll have to see what the House insists on adding to it as a condition for passing it. Here we go again with the hostage crisis. Here we go on the debt ceiling.
So every time the president asks us to raise the debt ceiling is a good time to try to achieve something important for the country.
Right.
And as you all know, many significant pieces of legislation have been attached to debt ceilings over the years.
Wow.
No,
we're
going to go
through
this again.
We have never held the debt ceiling hostage over demands. We have never done that.
I'm going to hold my breath until you give me everything I want, including lots more lettuce.
Yeah, you know that's going to be, there's going to be some terrarium demands in there next time. More lettuce.
I want a Starbucks in my terrarium.
And of course, he
Coffin had to... Link. How you doing today, guy?
That would be funny. Now, see if he had a sense of humor, he named his campaign manager as Coffin Link.
Crab shell, dude.
All right.
What an awful man. I mean, it's just like how do our Republican brothers and sisters not look at Mitch McConnell and say, really, this is the guy leading us? This is the man that makes us proud to be Americans?
Yeah.
Turtle.
Shill, baby, shill.
Right, exactly. 58 minutes after the hour, we continue with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you okay?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's, you know, just crawling to the finish line, pre-vacation week as always.
You have an attack of the poops.
You should stay away from sun-dried sushi.
Ring of Fire, not just a radio show anymore. Okay. Hey, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Sexy liberal John Fuse. La la. Sorry. A little mini-related brain-related event. All right. Fresh off his sexy liberal triumph in Seattle, John Fugel sang all 3 hours with us in the New York Bureau. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. I still have a gift card, $50 gift card from Sherry's Berries to give away for the best calls this morning.
They are delicious.
Mm-hmm. By the by, Bruce writes us at stephaniemiller.com, as you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Voice deity Jim Ward, you. Executive producer Chris Lavoie.
You.
You. That one. Or me. Bruce says, I'd like to see how many cable TV corporations run by conservatives offer Fox News as part of their basic package. Oh, they all do. You can get Fox News anywhere. I know that in order to get MSNBC, I have to purchase the expanded package for Charter in central Minnesota. I think it has a big impact on ratings. Same is true for conservative talk versus progressive radio. It's the corporations putting conservatives in every market possible. I hadn't noticed that, Chris. Is that happening?
A little bit.
When progressives go head-to-head with Limbaugh or Hannity, they do well in most major markets. Really? I hadn't heard that. I just thought I would. I had not heard
well,
that.
Well, they never actually go head-to-head with them because they won't invite real liberals on their shows.
Ha! Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then now it's back to Tech Talk. Give me some music, please.
Okay.
People trying to figure out how they can hear us come the new year. We will be continuing, just so everybody knows, continuing the radio show on many fine stations around the country. And we will be on Free Speech TV, thanks to your generosity. Keep going. Go to the link up at Stephanie Miller Show Facebook.
Yep, and at stephaniemiller.com.
The Indiegogo campaign to bring Mama back to TV.
But can you hear us on the Victrola?
Yes, indeed, you can. But like anyway, we've been discussing all the ways, not just Sirius XM, but also, online.
Online, on the Progressive Voices app, on the Stephanie Miller app, on the iHeartRadio app, on the TuneIn Radio app.
There you go.
You can hear us on Stitcher.
Right. Okay.
Stitcher,
Terry,
I just met her.
Terry says, Steph, I have a 10-year-old car. It has a cassette player in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a cassette adapter for my iPhone to play in the car, only $6. Aside from playing your show through your app, it's also good to make and take phone calls in the car instead of using the speakerphone. See, look at people getting so... They're MacGyvering things just to be able to figure out... Ron writes about internet radio. Steph, you might also want to let your listeners know if they don't want to invest in a smartphone with its obligatory ongoing fees. There are a number of internet radios on the market they can set up in the house as long as they have broadband. They're just like a small table radio or a Victrola, Jim. Easy to set up and to operate.
Victrola's a record player, though. That's
right,
not
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Much easier than a smartphone for our elderly friends. They even have presets, so you can preset a number of your favorite stations from around the world. They're a lot cheaper than most smartphones and don't require ongoing fees. Some of the there's a bunch of whole different manufacturers.
Okay.
I live near San Francisco, but I've been listening to Stephanie on WCPT Chicago since our local station went bonkers and moved you to the night slot. Oh, if by bonkers you mean they moved Glenn Beck into my spot on a liberal radio station in San Francisco, and then shockingly somehow, John, the ratings went to zero.
That's some smart business decisions right there.
Right. That was made on a dumb phone, that decision.
They can charge a lot of money for right-wing ads for right-wing audiences next year. And that's the only logic I can see in it, because no one's listening.
No, actually, because Rush Limbaugh scared all those advertisers away. Yeah. So good luck.
Rush Limbaugh
good luck to all y'all.
Rush Limbaugh scared away more advertisers than Lindsay Lohan and Betty Ford. But,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
When it comes to the low-wattage, knuckle-dragging guys who listen to the show, who love being lied to, I'm talking about the true Limbaugh devotees, the middle-aged, angry white guys with impacted colons, selling ad time to those guys works.
Not really, I guess. But okay.
Well, no, not
really. And also, Mitt Romney and his buddies at Bain Capital has put Clear Channel with $30 billion in debt.
That's right.
Yep.
You see how good conservatives are at business?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm guessing you're going to know where this happened. Man caught on video trying to paying for beer with a live alligator.
Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
Florida.
Huh.
Yeah.
What are right, or Louisiana. It's Florida, right?
Yeah. A man looking to trade a live 4-foot-long alligator for a 12-pack of beer at a Miami convenience store.
But alligators aren't worth much in Florida because they're everywhere. You can, like, pick one up out of the gutter and say, here.
Police were unable to comment on why he thought the convenience store would accept payment in the form of an alligator. he said, I have never experienced anything like this in my 25 years in law enforcement. Even in Florida? Well, that is saying something. You got to give it up for that guy. Because, well, our police have seen some shizzle. I'm just...
They've even seen alligators walking on their hind legs, chewing up baby children.
Well, oh. Alligators in bowler hats.
Yeah.
The good thing that alligator wasn't carrying some Skittles and iced tea.
Yes, exactly.
Could you take your organ out for John, please?
Right away, Ms.
Bring
Miller.
Me my personal...
Oh,
my personal.
Whip it out, if you would.
Oh, my personal comedy Jesus. Doug in Pennsylvania. It's for you, John! Go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Oh, hi.
Good morning.
You don't have to yell. I was yelling for John to come to the phone. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm 3,000 miles away, sir.
Yeah.
Every year, around this time of year, we get into this big thing about the war on Christmas, and my neighbor and I were talking about it yesterday, and he wanted to know why we can't just say Merry Christmas.
You can!
And I told him, you know, it would be a whole lot easier if you celebrated Jesus' birthday on Jesus' birthday.
True.
Right. Can you tell me exactly when that was and where I find it in the Bible?
I think it's August.
You know what? I think you're overthinking it, sir. With all due respect, you're actually, you know, he's allowed to. It's a First Amendment. He can say Merry Christmas all he wants. The point is, he shouldn't put down other people because they choose to have the more inclusive Happy Holidays. Happy Holidays is the Son of Seasons greetings, which began because businesses don't like alienating their non-Christian customers. It's not good business to alienate folks who don't celebrate Christmas. So go back to your friend and just say, hey, man, why do you hate capitalism?
Thank you very much, Ecclesiastical Mook. I'm much appreciated. By the way, this is certainly in the spirit of Christmas. Jealous Walmart employee shot a co-worker's car window out because she won Employee of the Month award.
Oh.
A Florida Walmart employee faces charges...
Florida.
Florida. Right.
Again with a Florida.
Did I even need to say? After officials say he shot a co-worker's car window because she won an Employee of the Month award and he felt it was undeserved. It should have been his. Merry Christmas.
Well, he was certainly a-hole of the month.
Wow, wow, wow. All right. So we were talking about the Affordable Care Act and the turtle trouble going on in Kentucky, so which is why Mitch McConnell has to continue to act teabaggy.
That's their whole approach to this rolling disaster. Let the White House dodge and deflect on any problem that arises until people forget about the last one.
What? Except the problem is resolving itself.
Yeah, there's that.
It's really not that much of a problem anymore.
Yeah.
The real thing, where people have to realize that it's Charlie Brown's fault for continually missing the football. And we are tired, speaking as Lucy, of Charlie Brown continually missing the football, and that's why we shouldn't trust Charlie Brown.
By the way, this is the level of ridiculousness this has gotten to. If anything could demonstrate that Fox News does not do journalism when you have their self-professed journalist that's not an opinion anchor saying, you know, Jesus and Santa are white. Did you see Daryl Issa actually said to an Affordable Care official, you need to watch more Fox News?
Oh, God. It's the last thing
you need
to
watch more of the propaganda arm of the Republican Party. That's your problem. It was during a House Oversight Committee, Chairman Daryl Issa's hearing road tour Monday afternoon. He told an official overseeing the ACA's implementation in Texas that he needed to watch more Fox News. The comment came during a back and forth with Randy Ferris, regional administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Ferris asked if he was aware that all applicant information was stored on the federal website where navigators can access it. When Ferris responded that private information was not kept there, ISA told him, you need to watch more Fox News, I'm afraid. Oh, my God.
But
it's not. That's right.
Your mind
that
has been infected by facts.
Right. Yes. The comment, thank God, received boos from the audience.
Good.
Yeah. Wow.
Even in Texas.
The Navigators program is, of course, under fire from ICE and Republic because they're helping people,
right.
John, get, you know, health care.
Oh, like Acorn helping people get jobs. It's awful.
Right. So they were criticizing them for incidents in which navigators eventually told applicants to misrepresent personal information to receive lower premiums or qualify for a subsidy. A Fox News clip showing two navigators hired in Irving, Texas, allegedly misleading an applicant, was played during the hearing. Ferris said the two navigators had been disciplined. I mean, this is what we've come to, that we're playing clips from Fox News and an actual,
God.
Yeah. So Texas, as you know, rejected both the Medicaid expansion and the state exchange under the ACA. It has the highest rate of uninsured in the nation.
Oh, yeah.
So
patriots.
But, John, what I'm saying is, so while if those two navigators did that, it was wrong, and they were disciplined, they're probably just trying to help people they feel bad for because they live in friggin' Texas.
Exactly. You mean they're patriots who care about their countrymen and women? Is
right.
that what you're saying? Exactly. Look, 45,000 Americans, your countrymen are dying every year because they lack insurance and can't afford the health care costs. And you're going to send us to war? This is why the you're going to send us to war to protect American lives? The Democrats need to realize that stop selling it is health care reform, it's health insurance reform, and more importantly, it's national security. Adequate health care is national security. And if you're going to go bomb the crap out of Iraq because you want to protect American lives, but you're going to neglect people who can't get coverage, you're not a patriot, you're not a Christian, you're not an American. Ho, sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I paraphrased Noel Coward there a bit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Jay Carney, the White House president.
You won't hear an argument from me that everyone in Washington has taken a hit because of Washington's performance of late.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the good news, John, is that they certainly have done their job with misinformation on Obamacare. And we were saying there was a poll the other day showing that, of course, people are blaming the president,
mm-hmm.
as the right does for anything that goes wrong. And many times it's things that employers and insurance companies have been doing for years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like Ike blaming Tina for taking a punch.
Right, exactly. Thank you, John. 18
wow.
minutes after the hour, we continue.
Tell me where it's off, Chris.
John Fugel saying in the New York Bureau. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get delirious whenever you
show. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Wednesday, December 18th, which Fran in Sacramento says is a special day. Why, Fran?
Oh, my goodness. It's such a special day because it is Keith Richards' birthday.
Uh-huh.
Stephanie, right. I would love it if I could please be the official Keith Richards fanatic at the Stephanie Miller Show. Mm. Yay! I didn't know if I had to fight Jim for the title or not.
No.
You can see him having
I was also wondering if John had any crossings with the man in his days.
With Keith?
Yeah.
You know, I've never actually met him, but he used to live above the old Tower Video on East 4th Street, so I used to see Keith quite a bit on the streets, but I never actually had the pleasure of sharing needles with him. I am posting a great picture on my Twitter of Keith and the late Levon Helm of the band.
Wonderful.
I love Keith, and he's still great live, and, you know, I really hope I get to see the Stones next year. I think I'm thrilled they're nominated for a Grammy for Doom and Gloom, their best rock and roll song in 25 years.
That's awesome. I know you mentioned that before. I thought that was great. I did see them in Oakland this year when Tom Waits came out, and I absolutely lost it.
Yeah, Mick Jagger live is
amazing. At the Staples Center.
Thanks for joining us here on Rock Talk. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And other hip-hop news.
Also,
another hip-hop news. Excuse me, Keith?
Beethoven is the same birthday as me.
Well said,
possibly
sir.
In the same year.
Exactly. Well said, sir. Nicely said.
I used to do a bit about celebrity books on tape, and I would do Keith Richards reading the climax of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Oh, God, no.
Crowd seemed to like it.
Do it. Yeah. Do it.
Mom, come quick. My mother got to the bathroom. What is it, she said. What's the matter? I got it, I told her. Got what? My period! I finally got my period. Bloody great.
And it goes on like that for about 3 hours.
You are Santa's God. Weirdest elf, and we love it.
And tallest elf.
Santa's weirdest, tallest elf. Also, Brad Pitt turns 50 today, so he can start. He can open his island.
That's right.
Angelina Jolie bought him. A heart-shaped island.
Or scrotum-shaped, depending on which angle you're
right,
looking
at. Right. If you approach from a different angle, it's scrotum-shaped.
Yeah.
Right. All right. And also, who else you said?
Oh,
Katie Holmes.
Wait, I'm sorry. Is it scrotum-shaped or is it... What? Because
it's the one day of the year that more things came out of the vagina than went in.
Oh.
Well, you know what I'm saying, because we were just doing a story about crack pipes and things up women's vajayjays.
No, a lot of people are born today. Steven Spielberg is 67. Leonard Maltin is 63. Ray Liotta is 58.
OMG. And my sister Lainey's birthday is today, too.
And Keith Richards is 147.
And Christina Aguilera
is 33.
Is she having a soul celebration, do you think?
I believe she is having a soul celebration.
Okay. Meanwhile, America's Angriest Shelf Elf, is that what the...
John McCain?
Charlie Pierce calls John McCain. John McCain to Harry Reid, I'm going to kick the crap out of you.
Well, that's the only way you're going to get me, because I've got the reach on you.
Oh. You went there.
Just picture him like a little Rock'em Sock'em robot. Just, yee,
yee.
So John McCain was not happy when Senate Democrats led by Harry Reid decided to pull the trigger on the nuclear option, limiting the minority's ability to block presidential judicial nominees. McCain warned Reid he was going to head to the Senate floor where he would rhetorically kick the crap out of him.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, I see.
Harry,
I'm going to kick the crap out of you. McCain,
you know, when the Tea Party comes for him, Harry Reid's going to be the only friend he's got.
Yeah.
Yep.
Told Reid minutes before he took to the floor to lay into Democrats for ushering in a black chapter in the history of the Senate. Oh, in case you haven't noticed, this chapter is black because it's led by a black man.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
The president. Reid reportedly said, John, I would expect nothing less.
Ha!
And then he held his head while he swung wildly at him.
Get closer.
All right. Tis the season, John, as you know, when Republicans try to cut unemployment benefits, food stamps. What else?
Well, I don't know if you realize this, but Jesus wants us to help the poor by cutting any programs that could help the poor.
Right. Right. Sure. Right. Exactly right. We were talking yesterday about, it's just so dumb. Eugene Robinson had a good piece about the minimum wage, for instance. He writes, conservatives complain about growing dependence on government benefits. The infamous 47% that got Mitt Romney in trouble. But if you force people to work for $7.25 an hour, you're basically guaranteed they need a range of government help. Food stamps, housing assistance, tax credits, and so forth. That's the basic math that I don't get, that conservatives don't get. We have one of the lowest minimum wage in the world.
Well, you know what caring about struggling Americans makes you, Stephanie?
What's that?
A Marxist.
Yes.
That's what the Pope learned this week.
I'm
a Groucho Marxist.
I'm old enough to remember that I made the minimum wage for years until I got into radio, and it was $4 an hour when I was of age. Eugene writes, the reason we have a problem with rising inequality and declining economic ability is the low-end wages have stagnated while high-end compensation has soared, as Pope Frank has explained to us. Hello. The standard Republican objection is that raising the minimum wage would hurt small business. That's their objection for everything. But I believe these businesses would adjust and that many would thrive since more people would be able to afford their goods and services, as we talked about yesterday. Democrats should make this issue a central theme of the 2014 campaign. I believe the public would respond, which means ultimately Republicans would respond.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they should wait till the campaign to make this an issue.
Yeah, no, I know. And he, who was it? Where was he yesterday? Australia has, I don't even know what it is, $15 an hour or something?
Yeah, yep.
And
yep.
Their economy is doing great and escaped the recession.
Bonza.
Yeah, it's going bonza, Jim. It's my point.
They don't have any gun massacres over there either.
Yeah.
Right. And they have universal health care. Huh.
Uh-huh. But they don't have the Bloomin' Onion.
Pardon me?
You can't get a Bloomin' Onion in Australia.
It doesn't exist.
No.
All right. There's no Outback.
No Outback Steakhouse.
No Outback on the Outback.
No. Ironically. But you can't always throw another shrimp on the Barbie, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's called a prawn.
Right.
Any?
Oh, pardon me.
Did you know Australians are not familiar with that phrase?
Throw another. Oh, because that's just like.
Because it was used in an ad that only was shown in America.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. We think Paul Hogan's the only Australian.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They have no concept of that phrase.
It's okay. Actual New Yorkers have no idea how to get to Bloomingdale's or the Statue of Liberty. So.
I did a wacky radio bit on that, or TV bit on that. I was standing right in front of the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
It was right behind me, and I kept asking people where it was. And most people didn't know. The placard was right behind me. 29. Yeah, radio price. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Santa Claus don't drink.
Oh, no? Well, how come he's always falling down chimneys?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Got me that $50 gift certificate to Sherry's Berries for the best calls this morning. We got us John Fiegelsang in the New York Bureau, sexy liberal, his own
hello.
Bad self. Hello. Well, hello,
hi,
sir.
Hello.
Hi,
greetings from snowy New York City.
Yeah, oh, is it snowing there?
It's gorgeous. Not today, but it was snowing all day yesterday.
Aww.
Very beautiful here.
Aw, magical, magical, beautiful. All right. So we've been talking about, income inequality, stuff that Jesus talks about because the ecclesiastical MOOC is here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, helping the poor, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there was a great piece. Katrina Vandenhoever wrote The Impoverished Republican Poverty Agenda. That's the one thing, John, that I cannot, that to me seems the harshest hypocrisy, is them always claiming to be the party of Jesus and the party of, you know, religious values and yada yada, and that is,
they have one argument.
What Jesus talked about.
They have one argument, and everyone listening who has this conversation with your right wing cousin at Christmas and Thanksgiving will hear this. They'll say, well, Jesus told us that we should help the poor. Of course he did, and I give to charity, and conservatives give to charity, but he never said the government should pick my pocket and throw the gun to my head and force me to give, and that's not charity, it's compulsory Benghazi. And the thing about it is, Jesus didn't have democracy. We do. Jesus lived under Roman imperial rule, but we get to pick the leaders. So you don't really get to go into the voting booth and ignore the teachings of Jesus unless you're a Republican and then still call yourself Jesus. Jesus can see you in the voting booth, you teabag. That's how it works. If you want a government based on Christian values, then you vote to help the poor. You vote to help the sick. You use the country's capital to help the less fortunate. These guys turn their back on that, and they think that talking tabernacles all day but ignoring the teachings of Christ and a democracy gets them over the finish line. And they don't. They're hypocrites and they're fakes.
Mm-hmm.
And we should throw rocks at them.
Thank you. John Louise Fuglesang.
I didn't mean that last part.
Everybody must get stoned.
Yes, we meant that in honor of Keith Richards' birthday today.
What?
What? What are Republicans for?
That was Dylan.
That
right,
was Bob Dylan.
Right, that's
redistribution of wealth to the top 1%. It's the one thing they're good at.
Thank you. I'm drunk. Right. What are Republicans for? Katrina writes, we know they're against health care reform. They voted in mass against it, shut down the government to stop it, voted nearly 50 times to defund it. We know they are against government spending. They voted for Paul Ryan's draconian budgets, which would slash spending so deeply that even some Republicans are increasingly in open revolt.
It's a serious plan.
So,
it's premium support.
But those budgets don't go anywhere. So what do Republicans propose that actually addresses the challenges facing the nation or its people? I mean, she was talking about this meeting they had in Eric Cantor's office. He handed out sheets for Agenda 2014. It was blank. Meaning, really? They're just embracing now being the party of nothing.
This is what it
being
looks like
everything.
Inside my head.
Right.
It's pretty much what the inside of his head looks like.
Right.
Yes, Paul Ryan is sort of making sounds about, you know, helping the poor, but I don't know, charity, John, he just thinks some sort of, charity will take the place of actual food stamps or actual help.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't want people to be dependent on government stuff.
Like Ayn Rand.
People aren't dependent on government, they're dependent on food, and every year we waste enough to feed the people in the world that starve. This is not patriotism, and I hate being this preachy, but Paul Ryan makes me do it.
Yep, exactly. Senator Patty Murray on the budget bill.
It doesn't tackle every one of the challenges we face as a nation, but that was never our goal. This bipartisan bill takes the first steps towards rebuilding our broken budget process and hopefully towards rebuilding our broken Congress.
It's kind of, I think, from both sides, but John, kind of, meh. This is like best we can do.
Yeah, well, hey, throwing unemployed Americans under the bus, taking their benefits away right after Christmas, that'll bring Congress together, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Senator Tepid is the new black.
Which is the new black?
Tepid.
Yes, thank you. Okay, Senator Ben Cardin.
We now have the opportunity to enact priorities that are important today, recognizing that some of the past spending is not necessary and there's other areas that we need now to adopt.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Yeah. And again, I think it's kind of interesting when you've got Bernie Sanders and Pope Frank talking about the same thing about income inequality. Interesting piece recently in Daily Beast, when will corporate America realize it doesn't pay enough? And talked about, you know, the president's speech on the same subject.
When their food, that's when they'll realize it. When the gates of their gated communities have been scaled, then they'll realize it.
Yeah. Anyway, the president, of course, also recently gave an impassioned speech about inequality. Welcomed by the left, sure to be jeered or ignored by the right, was full of plenty of old-time Democratic economic gospel and present-day center-left thought leadership. But and again, I just thought it's interesting that they, well, you saw this, John, they literally attacked the Pope. Rush Limbaugh and others are attacking the Pope.
But did you hear the
Pope's retort? Talking about stuff Jesus said.
Did you hear the Pope's retort to it? It was brilliant. He was just interviewed by the Italian newspaper La Stampa, and they said some of the passages in Evangelii Gaudium, your new encyclical, attracted the criticism of ultra-conservatives in the USA. As a Pope, what does it feel like to be called a Marxist? And the Pope said, the Marxist ideology is wrong, but I have met many Marxists in my life who are good people, so I don't feel offended.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible. But anyway, it was interesting. This piece goes on to say there are some companies, an expert noted, that realize that paying a decent wage actually helps their bottom line, reduces turnover. It means workers have more money to spend, to save, maybe eventually start a business of their own, mm-hmm. which is what we're talking about again. Companies like SAS, REI, and Costco should be applauded. They write, unfortunately, many of America's largest employers, including Walmart and McDonald's, have made paying the lowest possible wage a bedrock component of their business model. And the biggest example of that, John, is everybody talking about that Walmart has a canned food drive for their own employees.
For their own employees, yeah. Well, I mean, and the fact that Walmart, you've got, the average community pays $900,000 a year in taxes to subsidize the food stamp payments to Walmart employees who weren't paid a living wage.
Yeah. Anyway, and this
price is so nice, you pay for them twice.
Yeah, even this meh budget, Senator Mike Enzi, Republican of Wyoming, did not like.
We'll spend more now, we'll grow the government more now, and ultimately the spending cuts will never materialize.
Oh, for God's sakes. This is like, honestly, John, it's like the best we can do, this budget. It's sort of, Nancy Pelosi doesn't like it, the right doesn't like it. It's like,
we are.
Some of the sequester, it's,
This is how empires collapse, people. We are Rome with Facebook.
They do have one idea, voter suppression. That is still... Yeah, I've been reading recently, John, that this part is something we really have to watch about the ID. There's been story after story. I mean, this is so basic to our rights, but the Washington Post recently had a piece, better bring some identification, not just any identification, official though it may be, if you plan to vote in Republican-controlled states.
Yep.
However, if you contribute tens of millions of dollars to sway an election on Republicans' behalf, the party will fight to keep your identity a secret.
Exactly.
I mean, the irony, so rich.
You don't have to show an ID to buy an election, just to vote in one.
Would you like some not-so-fun facts? Consider, for instance, what happened to some attempting to participate in the recent election in Texas. New York Times reported that a judge, Judge Sandra Watts, was stopped while trying to vote because the name on her photo ID, the same one she had used for voter ID and identification for 52 years, did not exactly match her name on the official voter rolls. Both Democratic State Senator Wendy Davis and Republican Attorney General Greg Abbott, frontrunners in next year's gubernatorial contest, encountered the same obstacle. This is, as did Jim Wright, the 90-year-old former Speaker of the U.S. House. Wright, who represented his 4th district in Congress for 34 years, told a local paper he's voted in every election since 1944. And he just realized shortly before Election Day that his ID, a driver's license that expired in 2010,
because he's 90,
and a university faculty ID would not suffice under the state's 2011 voter ID law. Indeed, officials required Wright to produce a certified copy of his birth certificate. Who's got that handy on him? Anybody? I have no clue where mine even is.
And these are guys who don't think income inequality or poverty are a problem, but illegal voting is. More people are killed by TVs than vote illegally every year. And if you've got to pay a penny to get an ID to vote, that's a poll tax. It's all illegal. And you're right, Steph. This isn't just to single out black folks. This is done to keep poor people, seniors, and
students?
College kids.
Yeah.
From both. There's districts where you can vote with an NRA ID, but not a college ID.
Yep. The Post goes on to say, voter suppression has become the linchpin of Republican strategy. Well, that's somebody that's out of ideas.
Because they're losing. That's why. Yeah. That's all they got. Actually, because strategy isn't the linchpin of their strategy.
Yeah, and they say after Romney's defeat, the GOP was briefly abuzz with talk of expanding the party's appeal to young and Latino voters. But as we know, the autopsy is dead.
Right.
Instead, the party doubled down on its opposition to immigration reform and support for cultural conservatism, positions tantamount to electoral suicide unless the youth and a minority vote can be suppressed. And so, I mean, that it certainly backfired the last time, John, but I hope it does again.
I hope it does, too. You can't win the White House without 70% of the Latino vote. And that's been the linchpin behind all those struggles over over immigration reform this year. Remember Marco Rubio, the first half of the year, was really banking on becoming president, on bringing Latinos into the GOP? And now all that guy talks about is abortion. They've given up on the White House because, frankly, a lot of congressmen and senators in southern states don't care about immigration reform. It's not going to help them get elected, so they're going to block it.
Arthur in Studio City, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Arthur.
Hey, morning, Stephanie. Listen, morning. I'm a conservative Christian, and I don't vote Republican anymore. And the main reason is because of this income inequality. And nobody ever talks about how the government, the top 1%, Wall Street, the Federal Reserve, they constantly devalue the currency. And guys like me, the guys that I know, we work, and the wages that we get, the money that we get, it just doesn't make ends meet. And people like Carl Icahn can tap a few letters on a keyboard and make, I don't know how much he made, like $500 million. Mm-hmm. He invested in Netflix. He did absolutely nothing for the economy. And people like me, I mean, we're out there, we work, we're building things, we're making things, we're repairing things, mm-hmm. and we can barely make it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And these people, I mean, we don't have we have like an artificial economy. People are making money not because they're making money. It's because everybody else is getting poor. And the rich,
exactly.
they just buy assets, they buy stocks, they buy real estate, and those things keep their value. But people
yes,
who are actually making things, they get reimbursed with devalued currency, and nobody ever talks about this, John. I never hear about it. All I hear is, oh, you can't tax the rich because they create jobs. You know, mm-hmm. my dad made a lot of money in his life, and he never hired anybody. Never. He never created jobs. But I know guys who they weren't wealthy, but they invented things, or they had a new business model, and they were able to hire people and develop the economy. Rich people do not create jobs. Inventive people create jobs.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Create jobs.
Yep.
Risk takers create
Arthur,
jobs.
You are the smartest boy in class, and therefore you get a $50 gift certificate from Sherry's Berries. What do you think about that?
I love it. John, I love you.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Send them to John.
Thank you.
Send John some Sherry's Berries. Hang on, okay?
Split it. I want to meet you in person. Let's split it, okay? I'm going to take you to dinner.
Where do you live? Where do you live?
I live in Studio City.
Okay.
In Studio City, man.
Wow. Okay.
I'll meet you somewhere, and let's talk. I want to get educated, and I like to
Well, I don't know if you're a very cool conservative Christian, but a lot of conservative Christians don't like what I talk, so we'll have to have coffee sometime and see what we agree
on. Yeah, I love listening to you guys.
Wow, what is happening here?
This is like
dogs and cats lying together.
Right? Hang on, Arthur. Hang on. We're going to give you a gift certificate to Sherry's Berries. Send dip strawberries this holiday season from berries.com. Click on the mic and enter Stephanie. Or enter John Fugelsling, if that's your... No. Enter Stephanie when you
buy
go to
buy me a drink Berry. First.
Dude, God, it's a sexy liberal dating game suddenly. I don't know what happened there.
Crude, vulgar.
Did someone just ask you on a date?
Yes, a conservative Christian.
You have to ask your wife about that. But
a conservative Christian guy asked me on a date, and I'm going to go.
Okay. 47 minutes after the hour, right back. More who knows what with John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
God, I miss her.
Donna Summer?
Yeah.
Beep, beep.
Yeah.
Hey. Right? 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
What about Elke Zoma?
John Fugelsang, sexy liberal himself in the New York Bureau. All 3 hours, very, very exciting. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Okay, so you know what? Like, because it is the Christmas season, personal comedy Jesus, I built you a little manger full of anti-gay religious stories. For you to please take out your organ, won't you?
There's, right away.
There's a whole rash of
I always take it out for John.
Well, yes.
Well, who doesn't?
Slaps it down on the desk.
Who doesn't? All right. Okay, actually, this first one, we're going to go into the, the Archbishop. But let's start with Duck Dynasty Guy.
Oh, him.
Oh, dear God
in
heaven.
What a shocking disappointment.
All right, no, get your organ back up. Oh. I apologize. Yeah. The stars of Duck Dynasty might be America's most popular TV family, but could change very soon because Phil Robertson, that guy, has made some strong and seriously offensive anti-gay remarks that have sparked instant backlash. Speaking with GQ, he lamented when
GQ?
Everything... GQ, right.
Yes.
Really?
He lamented...
There is no more irony. It hung itself in a closet.
Wow.
They look like ZZ Top without the talent.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Yes, there's a picture of him in front of me just pointing guns randomly around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He lamented when everything is blurred on what's right and what's wrong, sin becomes fine. What qualifies as sinful in his book, he was asked. Start with homosexual behavior and then just morph out from there. Bestiality, yeah. Sleeping around with this woman and that woman and that woman and those men.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't be deceived. Neither the adulterers, the idolaters, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers, they won't inherit the kingdom of God.
He's bastardizing. He's Bible quoting right there, by the way.
Don't deceive yourself. It is not right. What's more, according to him, it seems to me a vagina, as a man, would be more desirable than a man's.
If you're straight, yes.
That's just
But it's just, this is what lame straight guys think gay sex is all about. They think that love between two men is about anal penetration. And that's all they think about. Straight guys think about sodomy more than gay guys.
That's just me. He went on to say, I'm just thinking, there's more there. She's got more to offer. I mean, come on, dudes, you know what I'm saying? But hey, sin, it's not logical, my man. It's just not logical.
It's not sin either unless you're doing it right.
Oh,
Jesus never said a thing about gay people, and there's no part of the Bible you can use to discriminate against LGBT Americans, period.
Wow, this just gets worse. So, as you might imagine, GLAAD released a statement.
Sure.
My buddy Wilson Cruz said Phil and his family...
There you are, what you do?
Wilson has not cruised me, but I have hosted an event with him, and he's delightful. He said Phil and his family claim to be Christian, but Phil's lies about an entire community fly in the face of what true Christians believe. I love that. This is the part I always love. Despite Phil's strong words, he insists he's a Christian who doesn't condemn others, even if they are sinners. He says, well, this gets even worse. He said, we never, ever judge someone on who's going to heaven or hell. That's the Almighty's job. We just love them and give them the good news about Jesus, whether they're homosexuals, drunks, terrorists.
That's all he's saying, really.
We let God sort them out later. You see what I'm saying?
Gays are just
that's better.
Yeah, consensual adult relationships between gay people are just like terrorists or child molesters or prostitutes or drugs.
Oh, my God. So then,
can we just say the real bad guy here is GQ, okay? Like, really, GQ, you're that desperate? That's going to help you sell magazines?
And by the way, since our Seattle celebrity guest for Sexy Liberals, Dan Savage, can I just say one thing? It does get worse for homophobes that keep trying to explain what they just said, as he did. He just released another statement.
Oh, God.
Oh boy.
It only gets worse for old homophobes.
Clarify the clarification.
Yeah. He said, I myself, because now they're trying to damage control.
Sure.
He said, I myself am a product of the 60s. I centered my life around sex, drugs, and rock and roll until I hit rock bottom and accepted Jesus as my savior. Mm-hmm. My mission is to go forth and tell people about why I follow Christ and also what the Bible teaches. And part of that teaching is that women and men are meant to be together. However, I would never treat anyone with disrespect.
No.
Just because they're different from me. We're all created by the Almighty. And like him, I love all of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We would all be better if we loved God and loved each other.
Now let's put people
down. You gay terrorists.
You know, I respect the fact that Duck Dynasty is popular because they do make Darwin appear wrong. and I can acknowledge the fact that this show is more staged than the average Civil War battle reenactment. But this is just, it's great that you have all their crap on sale all over the place in Walmart. But this is the beginning of the end. Goodbye. Host it down.
In a completely unrelated story, Don.
I've been reading the gossip too much. Sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
The headline is Archbishop who says gay marriage is from Satan accused of inappropriate contact with a human.
Of course.
An outspoken U.S. Archbishop has temporarily stepped down from his post after being caused of inappropriate contact with a young boy in 2009. John
stepped down from his post.
He's the head
fun.
Of the St. Paul Minneapolis Archdiocese. He denied the charge, which includes an allegation that he inappropriately touched an underage male on the buttocks during a public photo session. He's also best known for having spammed 400,000 Minnesota homes with unrequested anti-gay DVDs in a failed attempt to get voters to ban same-sex marriage last year.
Wow.
While the DVDs reportedly were paid for by an anonymous donor, He spent $700,000 in church funds to lobby against the same thing.
I do want to say he's innocent until proven guilty, and I don't really understand how you make a play at a kid at a public photo session. So, you know.
Right. He was probably just repositioning him gently.
Sure. Better do.
He was just, I was just trying to move him from the photobombing squirrel. Probably.
An encouraging pat on the back that was 2 feet too low.
Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. We'll Pope talk next with the ecclesiastical move as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh yeah, it is. Why? All 3 hours of Sex and Liberal John Pugh saying, fresh off his triumph. Seattle, Texas. Oh, by the way, I did apologize to the crowd. My normal, I do tweet a picture of my hoo-ha to everybody.
Yeah.
And I did forget to pack my no-no hair removal device, and it did look a lot like Rand Paul's hair, and I apologize.
Oh, no.
Meme asks, Steph, tell us again how to get that special deal on the no-no. I plan to order three of them. Cannot find the place for the Stephanie promotion. That's no-no-stephanie.com.
That's correct.
Do it. Do not make the mistake I made. That is, those pictures are going to haunt me. AJ in Washington, by the way, I think has some thoughts on John Palooza's Cunnilingus superset that he did in Seattle. Hello, AJ.
How you doing, Stephanie? I love you so much.
I love you so much.
And my goodness, you are very flexible after watching you on Saturday. I was amazed.
Thank you. Are you referring to the Sarah Palin on the English language routine?
You know, Mr. Fugelsang, I have a bone to pick.
Uh-oh.
Not the right anatomy, but thanks to you, my wife has certain expectations.
Well, as well she should, sir.
A lot of husbands sitting there going, thanks a lot, John.
Yeah, great. Do your duty.
Thank you so much. Can I ask you one more thing?
Yes.
Mr. Jim Ward?
Yes.
I was wondering if Mr. John Voight could tell us who killed Kennedy.
Probably John Voight.
Do you do a John Voight impression?
No, I don't.
I don't. That was weird. Okay.
John Voight.
Wow.
Well, maybe it's Milo Minderbinder. Minderbinder.
Right? Huh?
Every time I see John Voight on Fox, I have to go back and watch Deliverance and root for the Hillbillies. Or I watch Anaconda and root for the snake.
All right.
Milo, you can't eat cotton.
Okay. All right. Matthew writes, Staff, just read the sad news about Limbaugh moving to 1115 Los Angeles. That's right here where I sit.
Yeah.
Have at it. Have at it, Rush, my little pea shooter. Good luck. The station going all right wing. Stephanie, on what station can I continue to hear you in all my 1150 favorites? Well, here are the fun facts. First of all, there are some rumblings of the news station, so we will keep you apprised. Make sure you sign up for our website, and we will e-blast you if that happens. In the meantime, this is how.
Oh.
You can still listen.
Oh, yeah, you can still listen online via freespeech.org. You can get the
TV show. You can watch the televised version of the radio show on Free Speech.
That is correct. Or
TV.
You can listen, you know, put it on the background and listen to it if you want.
Right. Oh. And?
Or you can, get the Roku box for your television.
Roku.
Thank you.
And get the Free Speech app for your Roku. You can get the various apps like iHeartRadio or TuneIn app or Progressive Voices app or the Stephanie Miller app.
Right.
You can get
Stitcher
all that.
Or SiriusXM. You
That's
can
right.
listen to us. All right, live. All that live. Live. And
live.
Including many, many fine radio stations around the country.
Yep.
All right. And you can see us live. Live, I tell you. Sexy Liberal, we thank you all in Seattle. What a great, great night. Some of the proceeds went to Gilda's Club. And tickets going crazy for Phoenix, Saturday, February 15th. Madison, Saturday, March 29th, I believe is sold out. There may be a few floaties left around. Little, you know, detached retina tickets floating around that you can find. And then the big one coming up.
Dear
in May.
Republicans, this coming election year, progressives everywhere want to thank you from the bottom of our bleeding hearts for being you.
Go!
From your war on women, thanks for pissing off half the country.
Oops.
To the government shutdown, absolutely brilliant.
You must be stupid.
We'd send flowers to each and every clown and carnival barker in your broken, dysfunctional party, but instead, we're throwing a party.
I want to thank you.
On Saturday, May 10th, the world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico for some good old midterm mocking. Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will perform live on stage at Popejoy Hall. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com. Don't miss the sexy liberal Schadenfreude.
What the hell is that?
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, May 10th at Popejoy Hall in Albuquerque. Go to unmtickets.com.
And lots of big sexy liberal announcements coming up. Very, very exciting.
Yes, lots of announcements.
Whole new show in 2014. Very, very exciting.
Lots and lots and lots of announcements.
Yes.
And Steph, although, you were great.
Although, it's going to be tough to lick that set that you did, John, about...
I did a set about a lot. Hey, listen, I went up and did a set of material I had never done in Seattle before, which was a lot of fun.
That's because you're such a cunning linguist.
Right. Even the hardened stagehands were a mouth agape.
I finally do one bit of sexual material in your filthy review, and I'll never hear the end of it.
Or the front of it.
Hey! He had to make me, it's in his contract, needs to make me seem highbrow, because I actually did a routine with Sarah Palin on stage. So, you know, it was hard to... You know, I normally stick to the sex stuff, but that was some of my finest
material. Donate
to Free
Speech
material.
TV, folks. Donate to Free Speech TV. That's all I have to say.
There you go. We're going to be the Fruity Pebbles of Free Speech TV. Richard in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Hey, guys. Happy Chris Bahana, Quantica, Festivus for the rest of us, et cetera.
Thank you.
I read this great, another great quote by the Pope that sort of, I'm going to paraphrase. He said that basically, he described trickle-down as such that it was sold to us that when this big glass would overflow, it would all pour down onto the poor and benefit them. And he said what's happening instead is just that the glass itself keeps getting bigger magically until the poor never, ever see this. And I think that, you know, maybe that's something that can get through to people that, you know, can, I mean, that's about as simple as you can describe it, really. And that's been sold for 33 years.
Yeah.
And thanks to corporations über alles.
By the way, has anyone ever seen Pope Frank and Bernie Sanders in the same place? I'm just saying. Could he take the glasses off, put the big hat on? Could be the same speech. Wayne in Connecticut, you're on
the
Stephanie.
As the Pope said, it's not Marxist, it's Christian.
That's right.
Hey
Wayne.
Guys, happy holidays. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, Hanukkah once again.
Hey, I was just wondering... all these conservative Republicans, everybody see all over Fox News, they claim that our country, our government, was based on Christian values. But those are the same people that are against our government taking care of the poor and less fortunate.
Right.
Which is a Christian value.
Exactly.
It makes no sense.
They mean slavery, sir.
Yeah. Well, no, according to Fox News, you know, white Jesus takes care of white people, white Senate takes care of white people. Mm-hmm. What else do we need?
You know, Matthew 25, if you believe in having a government based on Christian values, then you take care of the poor, you take care of the sick, and you visit people in prison.
And also read the Treaty of Tripoli if you think we're a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'll be dreaming of...
Nights with white Santa... Making jelly pretends. Letters I've written. Won an Xbox from him. Megan's been obscene with her thoughts before. Just what the truth is. She can't say anymore, 'cause she's on Fox News. Yes, she's on Fox News. Lights fade from every room.
Ooh, scary. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with Christmas.
Sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, John, did you see this? We've been talking. We were, you know, burrowing my way through Gaystack here. Burrowing deep.
By the way, I'm plagiarizing all of Shia LaBeouf's plagiarism apologies for my next script.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thanks. Pardon me. This is awesome. The president kind of sticking it to Putin. You see, he's sending Billie Jean King as part of the Olympic delegation.
Uh-huh.
And one gay to be named later. No, he's sending two gays.
That's right.
This on Yahoo Sports. President sends right statement by including two gay athletes in the Olympic delegation. President Obama announced members of the U.S. official delegation to, how do you say it, Sochi, Russia. For next year's Winter Olympics, the message sent based on who is and who isn't going, and obvious as a Siberian winter, the delegation will include two openly gay former athletes and an obvious condemnation of Russia's recently passed legislation that bans propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations.
Well, and also now he's got to try. Now, if Billie Jean King says a thing, even I am gay, Putin can arrest her for 2 weeks and throw her in jail before deporting her. So your move, teabag.
Well.
And the best part of all of this is it's the gays versus Russia. Who's Sean Hannity going to root against?
Yeah. Well, and for the first time, too, the delegation will not include the sitting president, first lady, or vice president for the first time since 2000. A clear public slap at Putin.
Also, he's also sending Brian Boitano.
Oh, really? Is that what he would do? That's what he would do.
Yeah.
Well, if they want to talk about non-traditional sexual relations, Catherine the Great comes to mind.
Right, and sow cows. What the hell's that? What's a triple Lutz? That's unnatural.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's three German twins, triplets named Lutz.
Now all he's got to do is send over Greg Louganis and try to get Adam Lambert to learn the luge. We're all set.
Here's what I think Jesus would not do, ecclesiastical mook, because we were just talking Pope. We were having a little Pope talk. And Catholic schools' hateful pattern firing teachers for coming out. Did you see this in Salon?
Yep.
Michael Griffin, a man who was in recently a French and Spanish teacher at Holy Ghost Preparatory School in Pennsylvania. If he's correct, he wasn't really fired for being gay. He was fired for wanting to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Griffin said he was terminated from the Catholic boys' school after 12 years of service there on Friday after he informed school officials that he might be late for a school event because he and his partner would be out applying for a license to get married in New Jersey. Griffin says the school already knew he was gay. He and his partner attended parties together in the priest's residence, sat with the principal at an April fundraiser, even had a school administrator as a guest at the reception for their civil union. Recalling the April event, he said, clearly we were a couple. We both wear rings and we were together. The alums and the donors, they could all see that. To me, that was much more public than me emailing the principal, so I don't understand. If they were going to fire me, why not in April? Or why not for the civil union? Why not for the first time I brought my partner to the school? I mean, this is so ridiculous.
Listen, Rome didn't ruin itself in a day.
Gallingly, this business of schools giving the boot to teachers for being just a little too public in their gayness is becoming a trend. Last fall, after telling colleagues he was celebrating his 20th anniversary with his partner after getting married in New York, St. Louis Catholic school teacher Al Fisher was fired not just from his teaching post, but his part-time gig as music director at the church. And this spring, Ohio teacher Carla Hale was fired from her school in which she taught for nearly 20 years for just including her partner's name in her mother's obituary.
Yep.
I mean... Hey.
And there's nothing in the Bible against lesbians. Nothing in the Bible against lesbians.
No, I checked.
Yes.
All right. So and this is an interesting related Pope news that we will talk to my personal comedy Jesus about as we continue. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If you have half a brain.
All right, who would like some of my balls? I received Christmas balls from the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
These are terrific balls.
Good balls.
Thank you. Thank you. They're not at all sweaty. John, I was talking about what a bad year I've had in Seattle.
What balls?
But since I got bronchitis and I was on steroids, that is the good news of 2013. I grew a spectacular set of testicles. Just in time for Christmas. No, what are they called?
These are shiny balls.
What?
They're Ferrero
Rocher.
They're chocolate balls. Yeah. See what I did there?
Yummy.
Sorry, John. Sorry you're in New York. Otherwise, I would share my balls.
Can't partake of the balls.
I'll give him balls. Don't worry.
was that your Ron impression?
That's right.
Hi, Ron.
We're, Don't knock my balls.
No, he's doing an impression. That's not Ron.
No, it is Ron. Jesus.
It is Ron.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Thank you for your balls. I appreciate it.
I don't have a lot left.
Well, listen, for
people out there, this is the owner of the show who's trying to kill Steph with the life insurance
money.
And
thank you for the Christmas ornaments that we'll be giving to someone else immediately that you give us every year. Thank you so much.
Regifting is part of the holiday theme at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Right.
That's why there's so much Valtrex around here.
Yes. Thank you for the book on Linda Ronstadt that you obviously got free that I'll also be giving to someone else. But thank you so much.
As I said, regifting is key at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
Thank you for the gifts, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
You're
Love
welcome.
You. We have all had a rough year, and I just want to say I love each and every one of you very much.
Love you,
okay,
too.
Can I have some Christmas music, please? It's a Christmas miracle. Eric writes Mama and the Mooks. With 4 days to go on your Indiegogo campaign, that's to bring Mama and the Mooks back to TV on Free Speech TV. You're over $80,000. Hooray! Hooray! Keep going! Listen, ask the guy that owns the show. This costs money. We got to pay for our own cameras and lights. Free Speech has to pay for the infrastructure to do the show. I'm paying out of my own pocket to build a radio studio. Do it! Help, Mommy! I actually wait my swag. Eric must have done it enough to get some premium.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all a flutter down here in America's dangling appendage, i.e. Florida, awaiting your return to the screen to TV. Us too. We will be up, by the way, depending on technical stuff, January 6th, maybe?
Yeah.
We'll be back on the air on radio January 2nd.
Right.
But, yeah.
Right.
All right, and then we will keep you apprised.
We have a couple of technical rehearsals and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Dance rehearsals.
Yeah, yeah. Jim forgot his dance belt for the first ones. That set us back a couple of days.
But I did bring my capizios.
Right, so. He brought his capizios. No dance belt for the first rehearsal.
Some God, flopping Jim. All over the place.
Can you use your lesbianic wiles on your high-strung, testicularly adventurous producer to bring Sexy Liberal Tour back to South Florida?
That would be Roland, not me.
Yes.
Right, we will work on that.
We are working on that.
Ideas, by the way, for your morning show, your morning TV show, your new one, recurring, because we'll be doing it from Mama's home studio.
Right.
Recurring guests who's stumbling down the stairs bit. This can be a guest, willing or not. Or whoever was unable to start their walk of shame before the show begins. Oh, well, won't that be... That'd be interesting. Number two, cooking with Max and Fred. Number three, weekly mommy dearest OCD cleanse of your home. Axe optional. Tina! Bring me the axe! For now, know that you and your cabal of crazies have kept so many of us happy, sane, and semi-sober. Well, that's why I drink, to keep you sober.
Appreciate it. Bitch of a bearing wall and put a studio where it ought to be.
Oh, my God, Chris, you can finally do that line. Two of my bearing wall.
Tear down that bitch of a bearing wall and put a
studio.
Window where it ought to be.
Yeah, you know what?
What?
We laugh. That's about to happen at my house.
You're going to tear down that bitch of a
bearing
wall?
No, it's in my office. You know where it's going to be because I don't have a separate room.
Right.
And so I had taken the door off a long time ago and filled it in.
Yes.
Because I didn't
think you would need a door on that.
Right. So now... people are starting to hack around, like, and thank God Craig, who's building a studio, is like, you know what, we better get a carpenter.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they're going to, oh, by the way, your house fell down while you were gone, because we were trying to hack the door open again. That's in the middle of my house. That's got to be my bearing wall.
I believe it is a bearing wall.
Sorry, your house pancaked while you're gone. Sorry.
Oops.
But guess what? The good news is your attic's going to make a great radio studio now, because it's on the first floor. All right, Shafe in the live blog in the chat room for John. Hey, Shafe.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
Hi, honey bun.
Hey, I just, first of all, while you're talking about the studio, I just remembered you can now, since you're going to be doing your show out of the studio, take a business deduction for business in the home.
Absolutely.
Hey, guy that owns the show that's going to kill me for the life insurance money, what happens with that? Is that true?
You can take up to a fourth of your square footage cost, your mortgage, utilities, et cetera, for doing a business in the home.
Really?
And
good.
And the asbestos, too, Steph. A quarter of the asbestos can be written off in your home.
Oh, gosh. By the way, hey, Shay, thanks for giving Ron that idea, because now he's going to pay me zero based on that. I appreciate that. Thanks for giving me that tip. Okay.
Hey, no problem. Hey, the reason why I called was I wanted to bounce off of John. You know, we've been really...
You
really
and 20 million other guys.
Well, hey, man. maybe some other time. But anyway, the thing know, we've been really pleased with Pope Francis, or as we, who we like to call Vatican's Frank. All the great things he's been saying, right-wing's head's been exploding left and right. And you know, he's really started to present a kinder, a gentler side to the Catholic faith. But I guess my feeling is, and I wanted your thoughts on it too, John, is when we start seeing changes like letting up on some of these firings that have been going on.
We have to finish this after the break on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to 34 minutes after the hour. That was the ecclesiastical MOOC. John Fugelsang in the New Yorker. Yes. All right,
Travis just took a white ball.
Huh?
All right, Mr. Kelly. Mr. Megan Kelly. Shave in the live blog, you were in the middle of a Pope Frank question for John Fugelsang. What was your question again?
Well, I was saying, you know, we've been really enjoying what Pope Francis had to say. You know, a lot of right-wing heads exploded. But I guess my feeling, I wonder John's take on it was, you know, when we start seeing policy changes that affect, such as the firings that we keep hearing about in Catholic schools, I guess that, to me, is when I really believe that all this is just more than just a little publicity action.
Well, we haven't seen any policy changes at all. We've seen personnel changes. He's fired some people who needed to be fired, but you haven't seen, first off, this Pope says that women priests is a non-starter, continuing the Vatican tradition of no knob, no job. He's not talking about allowing married men to serve in the priesthood, which the church is going to have to do to survive. But the very fact, sir, that this Pope came out and talked about how American Christians need to drop the homophobia and the hang-ups about abortion and contraception, even though he hasn't changed a policy, he's changed so much more just by doing that. And by adhering to the teachings of Jesus as opposed to the hang-ups of dead guys, he's already changed the Vatican culture. No one's talking about this place as a refugee camp for child molesters anymore. They're talking about the fact that it's run by a guy who has earned Time Magazine's Man of the Year. He was completely unknown at the beginning of the year, and he's already changed the international dialogue on the role of caring for the poor in a moral, decent society. So I think that, you know, we want it to get better, but it's already so much better than it's ever been in my lifetime. This guy can do a lot of good.
By the way, did you see the latest news? Pope Francis on Monday moved against a conservative American cardinal and replaced him with a bird, a cardinal, as Jim said yesterday. I did not know that. That is surprising.
Cardinal.
That is surprising.
That is right, not
now,
true,
a small
Stephanie.
Red bird.
No?
That is
no,
not true.
He has...
You regret the error.
He has been... he has been... that would have been funny, though. Ha ha. With you. Yeah. Okay. No, he was the one he replaced was an outspoken critic of abortion and same-sex marriage by replacing him on a powerful Vatican committee with another American who is less identified with the culture wars within the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Church experts say it's a signal Francis is willing to disrupt the Vatican establishment in order to be more inclusive. They said he's saying you don't need to be a conservative to become a bishop. He wants good bishops regardless of how conservative or liberal they are. How about
really
that?
True. It was a huge movie.
Imagine if, like, American talk radio just wanted great radio, whether no matter what your politics were. Wouldn't that be? It would. Oh, okay. Sorry. Sorry, that was my own. Sorry, I don't know where that came from. It was just a little.
That was your own little bug.
Yeah, just flapping. Right.
Yeah.
Wires flapping around. You know what it is? I'm exhausted from this war on Christmas. oh, God, I'm just really. Let's head it up. Have another dispatch.
Nope.
Okay. Or another dispatch from the war on Christmas.
Yes.
From Kenny Pinkshade.
Coming this
December and Kim
on PBS, the new documentary series, Dispatches from the War on Christmas.
Dear Mr. Nimrod, since you have left, this war on Christmas has extracted a terrible toll. Mrs. Wilson down the road passed last January. She was taken in a most cruel way, strangled by defective tinsel. Then the Lucas's little boy, Samuel, came down with a dastardly rash. And Dr. Stevens says that it was most assuredly caused by the red dye in his gift wrap paper. No family has been spared the heartbreak of cheap Christmas goods. There can be no doubt we're facing a silent but deadly enemy. Oh, please come home to me, Nimrod. Come back to Wingnut Mountain. Forever yours, Edna.
Dispatches from the War on Christmas. Coming this December on PBS.
it sounds like Ken
Nimrod,
Burns huffing
Nimrod,
paint, you know?
Nimrod. Okay. John in Virginia, you're on with John. Hello, John.
Hey, how are you today?
Good, go ahead.
Had a question. I noticed that you, at some point, stated that in the Bible there was no mention of homosexuality.
Yes.
No, I didn't say that. No, that's not what I said. I said there's no part of the Bible you can use to justify discrimination against LGBT Americans.
I agree with you that there, as far as discrimination is concerned, you're absolutely correct.
Well, I'm including marriage with that too.
All right, so let's walk through that, shall we?
Yeah,
the marriage part.
Sure.
Jesus Christ himself mentions twice in the New Testament that marriage is between a man and a woman.
No, he doesn't.
Okay?
Yes, he doesn't. Where does he do that? Matthew 19,
like
right? Yeah, I would. Tell me about Matthew 19, sir. Tell me what he's saying there.
Hang on just a second. That marriage is between a man and a woman?
That's not what he says.
What does he say then? Why don't you quote it for me?
He says, male and female he made them, and the man shall leave his family and cleave unto his wife. Now, he's saying this in response
and what else?
To the...
Continue on with the next verse.
Why don't you have the Bible in front of me? Why don't you tell me?
Okay, let's do it then.
What does he say?
For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife.
Yes.
The two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh.
Yeah.
Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses command? Let me finish. Did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?
Exactly.
And Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard.
Yes.
But it was not this way from the beginning. Or in other words, there's no mention of same sex.
In the
Old Testament is very clear that there was not only the abhorrence
John, let him answer. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, John, it's great that you called, and it's always a pleasure to speak to somebody from the great state of Virginia. I have a lot of family there. That's where my mom's from.
Me too.
Here's the deal. That passage you're talking about in Matthew 19 is Jesus overturning the Old Testament divorce laws, right? We can agree on that. This is where if a man no longer delights in his wife, he's allowed to kick her to the curb, and Jesus comes out and says, hey, when you do that, you turn your wife into an adulterer, and you yourself as well. This is Jesus coming out against straight divorce, not gay marriage. It has nothing to do with gay marriage, so let me ask you, sir, do you oppose heterosexual divorce?
Then you can't use
that part of the Bible to justify discrimination against LGBT Americans. Thank you.
All right. Wow. You know what? I had to put him out of his misery. That was an act of Christian mercy hanging up on him.
Wow.
Yes. And that passage, if you're going to talk Bible with John,
that passage is Jesus being a feminist, because that's where also, you know, if you look on a woman with lustful looks, you've committed adultery in your heart. That's not Jesus saying to be ashamed of your urges. He's saying don't sexually harass and ogle women in public. This whole passage is Jesus going against the laws of the Old Testament in favor of being a feminist to protect women. And that's what the passage is about. It's got nothing to do with gay people.
We pause now for a John Fugelsang a gangsta mic drop.
Thanks. Union House just charged us $1,000 for that.
That sounds like you dropped an actual guy named Mike.
Jason in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys. I wanted to point out when we're talking about labor or wage inequality, the thing that's really standing out is the fact that the top, 2 to 3% of the population, the reason why their incomes have been going up is because it's not from their actual labor, but it's because of the appreciation of their capital. So, a doctor can only drill so many teeth if he's a dentist or something like that. But if he has a stock portfolio worth $1 million, it can go up 20% a year, unlike his labor. And this differential has been going on since the U.S. went off the gold standard back in 1971. And at that point, when we became a fiat money system, the United States basically said to the world, to its citizens, if you don't leverage your productivity, it will not pay you off.
Right. So your point is?
My point is that now the Fed right now is instituting a program whereby it is designed to supposedly help the economy, but the people that are benefiting from it, 95%, Obama said this, 95% of the people that have benefited from the policies in place have been the 1%.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I do think it is interesting when President Obama, Bernie Sanders, and Pope Francis, we could play Guess the Quote. I mean, Jim gets everything wrong anyway, but you could not tell the difference, could you?
It's worth pointing out it was Nixon that took us off the gold standard. And yes, under this president, under President Barack Obama, in his first term from the years 2009 to 2011, 95% of all the wealth earned in this country went to the top 1%. 5% of the wealth earned in this country during Obama's first 2 years in office, 5% of the wealth went to 99%. Now, if you agree with that, then you should also agree that the 1% should pay 99% of the taxes. Thank you, Mike Drop. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mike Drop. Once again. Oh, sorry, Mike. Sorry, Mike.
Ow!
That's $2,000 from the Union House.
Hey, Jim, speaking of people that like to get paid, George Zimmerman's ex-lawyer, Mark O'Mara.
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh,
so is, awesome.
He's being investigated by the state bar for an undisclosed possible violation of ethical rules in connection with his defense of George Zimmerman.
What?
That's not so awesome.
That's not awesome at all. I gotta go. I gotta.
What now? A lawyer without ethics? Has that ever happened before? Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Hi.
John. Thank you for your good explanation to that caller. But can I just say my own vent on this?
Yes,
please.
Okay, I don't give a rat's ass what the Bible says. As far as I'm concerned...
Wow. Yeah. Go, Sue! Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me be clear. First of all, there are 50 different versions of the Bible in English alone.
Right. Yep.
Okay? And it is only whatever version you want to believe in, that's fine. What's important to me is the United States Constitution. In the very First Amendment, there is a wall of separation, as said by Thomas Jefferson and reinforced in 1802, of the wall between the church and the nation.
Well, and count me in your rat's ass caucus, because when he started mentioning the Old Testament, it's just, okay, hold on. Really? We're going to start making social policy in this century? Based on really
Bible for God's sake.
Okay.
For God's sake.
Hey, I mean, you see, because
we Jews like the first five books of the Bible. After that, we were done. That New Testament stuff wasn't very interesting to us. We stayed where we were. I mean, that was enough
but
for the
Jesus
Jewish
is such
people.
A nice Jewish boy. He stayed at home till he was 30. What are you talking about?
But he didn't get married, so his mother's head was in the oven. It was terrible.
By the
so
way,
King James.
Sue, in the spirit of the holiday, we would like to give you this.
I have a Christmas. I made it out of non-pork meat. My Christmas dreidel. Can you feel its kosher heat? My non-pork dreidel so yummy. I put it in my mouth. I can feel it in my tummy. I think it's heading south. Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. I made you out of meat. Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. You'll soon come out my seat.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Yes.
There you go. Have a nice
that's line one. That's
love
the
you.
Old Testament.
Oh, my God. God.
There you
You're
go.
Not my son. You're not my son.
46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments with John Finkelstein on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
In any amusement hall, that deaf, dumb, blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jim Ward on air guitar.
Mm-hmm.
John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. I'm not
going to.
Right. Just doing a few licks as well, if you watched his set in Seattle.
Hey!
Oh,
boy.
You know,
well,
I finally
it was
caved
a
cunnilingus
superset. It really was.
Caved to peer pressure and do sex material at one of your shows, and now I'll never hear the end of it from you prudes.
Yep, I know. Prudes. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Justin in Fort Worth, you're on with John. Hey, Justin.
Hey there, Stephanie and John. Good talking to y'all. Thanks for taking my call.
You too.
Just wanted to make two quick points. First, the reason that the Catholics keep firing people for getting gay married is to avoid having to provide them with benefits. And,
oh, that's Christian.
Yeah, exactly. And provide it to everybody but gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And my second thing was the reason that the Bible doesn't say anything about lesbians is because we all know straight men wrote the Bible,
right,
and they have no problem with two women having sex.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, God exactly. Invented video.
I bet you if any guy in the room said something, they're like, "Shh, dude, shut up," right?
Yeah, exactly.
Shh, hush on that, dude. No one's gonna notice.
Yes, they were fond of the word dude back then.
Right.
Yeah,
that's in the Aramaic.
Dude, don't harsh our buzz here, okay? Don't harsh our three-way buzz. Russ in Cleveland. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I wanted to talk to John a little bit just because I think we're missing a point that Pope Francis is trying to make with all these, quote, procedures or the policies, contraception, gay marriage, things like that. Rather than proclaiming something from on high, he wants to open a dialogue and a question between people, and he wants it to be a more permanent, more heartfelt, more emotional, human response, rather than something that he's just dictating from on high.
I agree.
I think it's brilliant, and it's going to be a longer process, a more arduous process, and but I think it's the right call.
I think you're right. Barack Obama coming out in favor of marriage equality changed a lot more than any single policy Barack Obama could have enacted as a president. It's just having that kind of support on such a big scale. So I think this Pope has already changed the culture so much, even if he hasn't changed specific policies, which
he's going to have to do. The president's even dragged the boner along with him. Look at this. Boner says the GOP should be more sensitive to women voters and support gay candidates.
Wow.
Boner spoke out on what he sees the need for Republicans to be more sensitive to women voters. I don't know any chicks that cry as much as he does, so I feel some...
been spiking his Rob Roy's.
Women everywhere like, dude, man up.
Yeah.
Men should cry when something heavy falls on them, period.
I work at a tavern.
Chicks are telling them to grow some balls.
Yeah, and I'm a crier. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, look, you'd cry too.
He said, we're trying to be a little more sensitive, you know. You look around Congress, there's a lot more females on the Democratic caucus than there are in the Republican caucus. And some of our members just aren't as sensitive
so
as they
ought
to be.
So that's the only reason, he says, just because there are a lot more chicks around, we got to be sensitive to them.
You know, they're so over-hysterical. They cry a lot. There's a GOP media training going on. It has a focus this year of avoiding the gaffes on how to handle subjects like abortion that are certainly sensitive and prone to foot-and-mouth moments. You know, like the rapey caucus.
Sure.
The rapey guys.
So all you got to say is if you want abortion illegal in this country, once it's succeeded and once Roe versus Wade has been repealed and there's no more legal abortion, if a woman is raped and seeks to terminate a pregnancy, who deserves the longest jail sentence? This is what no one will ask these guys. The rapist, the doctor, or the woman. I want every member of the so-called liberal media to ask these guys this. They're not going to get rid of abortion. They're going to get rid of safe, legal abortion, and that's their whole plan.
Boner was also asked a question whether he thinks the Republican Party should support at least two openly gay GOP candidates, and Lindsay, who have announced for 2014. He answered simply, "I do." He's right behind them. Good for him.
Awesome.
I think most of them aren't Lindsey Graham.
What?
He's right behind Lindsey
Well,
Graham.
It's hard Good. To get in between him and John McCain.
That is true.
Rochelle in Los Angeles, you're on with John. Hello, Rochelle.
Hi. Maybe a little off the subject, but I'm with the caller about not giving a rat's ass about the Bible.
Yes.
I'm a court reporter in California, and I administer the oath to people when they testify, and I don't say so help you God at the end. And when people, lawyers, whoever, ask me why, I say because they are swearing under the penalty of perjury to tell the truth, not the penalty of eternal damnation or whatever you assume is penalty. And exactly. So
yeah, like Oliver North did and James Clapper.
Exactly. Hey, guess what? Will Ferrell and I have something in common. We're both wildly successful? No, I am not wildly successful. That. However, we had both stolen a bus. He almost ended up behind bars when he hijacked a bus with his co-stars and whizzed around Atlanta, Georgia, during the filming of the Anchorman sequel.
I knew you drove a bus. I didn't
on a
know...
lunch break, he said we stole a city bus. We were just driving it through the streets of Atlanta. The cops were chasing us. It was art imitating life. We were gone for hours, and we hopped out of the bus. We said, hey, it's us, and everyone had a big laugh. Okay, I didn't technically steal a bus. I, as you remember, I worked at a camp for overprivileged children when I was in college. I was a camp counselor.
Yes.
And they made us drive a bus to pick the kids up in the morning.
I still can't believe they gave you a license for that.
Right. They rushed us through the class, too. And like, oh, it's fine. You can drive it.
And you don't drive stick.
No. It was not a good idea. So, but we had to pick them up. So we'd actually park the bus at our houses and then go pick the kids up. That was part of the job. And so I technically borrowed it to move my stuff back to USC. My roommate. I didn't really steal it. I just used it to move my stuff.
You just brought it back before they noticed it was gone.
I just remember my roommate running up and down the aisle with our clothes flying. You don't know how to drive this! Oh, my God! Just everything was, you know.
Don't take the bus, you'll kill yourself!
I was like Sandra Bullock in Speed. Yeah. Just flying everywhere. Awesome. All right, John Fugel saying, I love you.
Hey, I love you. I'll miss you guys. Hope we get to talk really soon. You had a great show the other night,
you
Stephanie.
You too, sir. You
can't
too,
wait for the
sir.
New year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love you all. Like to thank
love
Chris-
you all, you and Steph, Lynn.
Mwah. Merry Christmas, John.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Love you, Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Travis Bone. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.